This is Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, and I want to invite you to listen to our new daily live call-in program, Stand in the Gap Today, each Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL. There's never a shortage of topics surrounding how our faith and freedom are being attacked on every front. This program will equip Christians to stand up for truth and to impact our culture for Christ rather than just being an idle bystander. Join this battle for truth and listen to Stand in the Gap Today every Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
On this day, April 13, 1743, the third U.S. president was born. He approved the Louisiana Purchase and commissioned Lewis and Clark to explore it. Best known for drafting the Declaration of Independence, he was also governor of Virginia. His name, Thomas Jefferson. Inscribed on the memorial in Washington, D.C., is Jefferson's statement, "Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God, not to be violated but with his wrath? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and we wish to invite you to a brand new program that is debuting today over this radio station. It's called Stand in the Gap Today. It's a program, of course, that is originating from the American Pastors Network, and I happen to be Gary Dahl.
And I'm Dave Kistler.
And I am Sam Rohr.
And, of course, we are going to be with you every day at this particular time talking about issues that relate to us, whether it's a biblical issue or a social issue or a secular issue. But what we're going to do is try to bring all of those issues in alignment with the United States Constitution and the Word of God. And we have been looking forward to the debut of this particular program for quite some time, and we're very, very thankful for the stations that are airing the program. And, of course, the American Pastors Network is the ministry that will be producing this program, and Sam Rohr is the president of the American Pastors Network. And we felt that what we wanted to do today at the very outset of this initial radio program is to share a little bit with you about what the American Pastors Network is all about. And then, of course, from there, we will be getting into various other subjects for today. But we're delighted to have you with us, and we want to go to Sam now. And Sam, how we thank the Lord for the opportunity that we have to have this program on these radio stations. And, of course, our vision is great, and we're looking forward to do some great things through this new program.
Well, absolutely, Gary, and it is a thrill for me and obviously you and as opening the program today, and Dave Kistler, who's been a part of this program, to launch it on this on these various network of various stations today, WFYL out of King of Prussia being the anchor station. We're thankful to them. And we're looking forward to this being taken across the country. Now, you ask a good question. This is a ministry of the American Pastors Network. And in the succinct terms, Gary, what this is all about is that we as preachers of the gospel and as individuals from varied backgrounds who have been traveled the world. I've been involved in the political realm, in elected office for many years. You've been a preacher of the gospel for 40 years, David. Kistler, an evangelist, has traveled the world and travels the country. God's put within our hearts a real burden for this country. And it's from that sense that this program was born. And part of the American Pastors Network mission is to proclaim truth into the public square, to be an advocate for pastors, but to enunciate and to apply a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. And, you know, I think all of our listeners that are listening to this program and will know we're in trouble in this country. And unfortunately, we've had very little good leadership. We think that that's unnecessary, that it can be, because the Bible contains all the word, all the information we need, and we're blessed to live in a constitutional republic that gives us the opportunity to be able to impact the legislation and the policies that affect our lives. And so that's why what we do here, we come from a biblically based perspective, that's also constitutionally consistent because we're speaking about issues of the day, and that is from the Constitution, but it's a moral basis under all of them. So we speak as pastors, speak as preachers, but we speak constitutionally, and to that we know that the answers are there to bring clarity to every issue that is facing us today. So yes, that's what this is all about. And we're excited about it, Gary, and I'm just really excited to be a part of this with you and Dave. So thanks for the opportunity to lay this out here as we go and kick off this this new and expanded program here in Pennsylvania and across the nation.
Sam, if you would please, just share with our listeners here this afternoon really what it is that the American Pastors Network has in mind to do, not just with this particular radio program, but with other aspects of our ministry. I mean, it's a unique type of a ministry, the type of a ministry that I have not seen anywhere else in particular, but it's something that the Lord has really been working in, bringing together a great team of individuals. And I'm just wondering if you could lay out for us a little bit more on what the American Pastors Network anticipates doing under the leadership of the Lord in time to come.
Well, absolutely. One of those things, Gary, is to establish state chapters of pastors across the nation. That's one that's becoming very visible. We have under the rubric or the umbrella of the American Pastors Network that has its purpose to identify, equip, and encourage pastors to stand in the gap for truth. Part of that is to provide a structure within each of the states by which you can have pastors who, again, are committed to these principles to come together. So we have chapters in Pennsylvania, have chapters in North Carolina, chapter in Arkansas, and chapters that are coming in other states across the nation. It's our goal to have a chapter in every state, representing 100,000 pastors and 10 million Americans. That's an average-sized congregation. 100,000 pastors. That would make a difference, an unbelievable perspective in America. And with that, then, it comes speaking truth into the public square. That means being involved in interviews across the nation. You and Dave and Gary and I do hundreds of interviews across the country in the space of a year and touching hundreds of thousands of people, again, bringing clarity to the issues of the day from a biblical and constitutional perspective. So we have radio programs. This is one of them. We have a radio program that's on 150 stations, a preaching program already, now it's across the country, and a minute program that's on over 50 stations. So we have a lot of these things happening, Gary, and this is just a part of what the American Pastors Network is all about.
Well, it is indeed, ladies and gentlemen, and of course, as you stay tuned to this particular program, no doubt about it, you'll be hearing more about the American Pastors Network and what we're doing. We'll be back with more information after this, so stay tuned to Stand in the Gap today.
Join us for the 2015 Pennsylvania Leadership Conference, the premier gathering of conservatives each year here in Penn's Woods. This year's conference, April 17th and 18th, at the Radisson Penn Harris Convention Center in Camp Hill. This year's featured dinner speaker, former CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson, luncheon speaker James O'Keefe, the investigative journalist who brought down Acorn. Other speakers include Pat Toomey, Rick Santorum, Brent Bozell, Mike Terzai, Philip McAleer, Grover Norquist, Congressman Lou Barletta, and John Gizzi. In addition to speakers, the Pennsylvania Leadership Conference will include workshops, panel presentations, and exhibits by over 40 conservative organizations. Complete information and details about how to register for the Pennsylvania Leadership Conference are available at paleadershipconference.org. Register today at paleadershipconference.org.
The liberty of the press consists in the right to publish with impunity truth, with good motives, for justifiable ends. To disallow, it is fatal. Alexander Hamilton, 1804.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, and brave, and hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
As stated by Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and of course, I am Gary Dahl. This is a brand new program that you're listening to here on these radio stations, coming to you from the American Pastors Network. Along with me, of course, is the president of the American Pastors Network, Sam Rohr, and David Kistler, who is an evangelist, but he is also the president of North Carolina Pastors Network. And we will be with you every day at this same time. Information relative to what's going on in the world today. And the opportunity that we have is to bring before you what these issues mean and how they can relate to the biblical and the constitutional perspective. Well, Sam and Dave, we are gearing up in a new season of presidential campaign, and it's unbelievable that, you know, this thing is going to go on and on and on. I said to my wife last night, I believe it was, that, you know, the baseball season is just starting. And, of course, the presidential election season is just starting, the campaign season, I should say. And, of course, we will be going through two complete baseball seasons, World Series, even before the presidential election of 2016. That is a long time. And I just want to ask you, Sam, of course, you've been involved with government. You've been involved with the political realm for many, many years. Is that too long? I mean, you know, I realize that this gives everybody the opportunity to get out their opinions and their thoughts and their ideas. And it enables the electorate to be able to understand where each one of these candidates are. But 2 years, and actually we could say 2 years plus, because, you know, they've been talking about this now for several months. Is that too long? Should it be shortened? Your thoughts on that?
Well, Gary, I mean, does it seem like it's forever? It does seem like it's forever. And in many respects, it is longer than I think it perhaps needs to be. Unfortunately, or to put this perspective, if in fact the regular media used this opportunity to truly provide opportunity for the candidates to be able to, in fact, speak without being filtered or maneuvered around or manipulated, their messages manipulated, it would be actually a good thing. But in the days when there is such distortion, manipulation of the media, it's more of a time for one side to, you know, destroy the character of the other person rather than finding out about what's going on. And so to that extent, it's too long. On the other hand, I think, you know, answer your question, it can be both of those. But I think that's where where it comes down for programs like this and others, if we can and we do focus on the truth and actually bring to light issues that are of real truth and character revealing examination of these individuals. Then I think it's all right. So, I mean, again, that's again one of the things we're going to try and do on this program is bring things to light that will be allow our people to consider these candidates from perspectives that are maybe a little bit different, in fact, than what they're getting from the normal media.
You know, David Kistler, a while ago I heard somebody say, as it relates to the length of these campaigns, that what we ought to do is set aside 2 months for everybody to get out there and tell the nation what they believe, where they stand, what issues are significant to them, and just give 2 months to have sort of of a blitz, as it were, in where these candidates stand, and then have the election day. Do you think that would be appropriate?
You know, Gary, I've many times thought what our founders must, if they could see what the political process has become since their time, what they would think about all of this. You know, Gary, the fact of the matter is this. There are so many voices out there clamoring to gain the attention of the American electorate that I think sometimes a shortened campaign season would be good. However, on the flip side of it, there are so many attempts to communicate to the American people. And a lot of those attempts, Gary, are done via media sources, and honesty is just not part of the game. So the lengthened amount of time that we have in a campaign, certainly this 2016 campaign, in 2016 election that's approaching, will afford people the opportunity to do thorough research on the people that they're looking at and considering voting for. And again, as Sam so eloquently said, that's where a program like this comes into play. Well, we're going to endeavor to do our best to communicate the truth about these people. Of course, in the days ahead, Gary, we've talked about this, to some length about American Pastors Network doing interviews with all the major candidates so that we can communicate directly to the American people and to our listening audience what these people believe. So it could be better if it were shortened, but at the same time, there is so much misinformation that's communicated. I look at it this way. I think the lengthened, protracted campaign season affords people an opportunity to thoroughly vet their candidates, and that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Well, of course, we do know that on the Republican side, Ted Cruz has already announced that he's running for the presidency. And, of course, later on today, Marco Rubio is going to announce the same from Florida. But yesterday, Hillary Rodham Clinton entered the presidential race saying that she wants to fight for the economic futures of regular people and ending years of speculation about whether she would redeem the disappointment of her failed 2008 attempt. She seems like she's really going ahead as the country's first female commander-in-chief. Think about that. She says she wants to fight for the economic futures of the regular people. I'm not so sure that she can relate to what a regular person really is, Sam. She went on to say, I'm running for president. Everyday Americans need a champion. I want to be that champion. Is she going to be the champion of the United States of America, Sam?
Yeah, Gary, I do not think that Hillary Clinton has and has within her the wherewithal to be a champion for any average American. The baggage around her is so heavy and so broad and so deep and so far behind her, dragging along. And we could, and I think we'll spend plenty of time going down and identifying those things. But there's nothing about Hillary Clinton's background that puts her in lockstep with any person who's out there really, really, really trying to do a noble, responsible job as a citizen, I don't think. And like I say, you know, we have to get all the things from Benghazi to around, you know, all the, but that swirls around her. But I find it very difficult for her to be a champion of anybody who's an average patriotic American. And I think that the Republican candidates who are coming on board to some extent are salivating. They know that she has a big name, but there's also a big, big dark background cloud that follows behind her.
Dave, do you think that the big name that she has is going to be positive or negative to her campaign?
Gary, I think, to be honest with you, that her name being Clinton is going to ultimately prove to be a negative. I think it's going to be an albatross around her neck for the very reason Sam has already stated. There is so much that has followed the Clintons whenever Bill Clinton was elected president twice. So much baggage followed them into the White House. I think it's going to be very difficult for Hillary to shake any of that. Plus, the fact that she has created her own legacy, which is not positive, and I'm talking about the things that happened in Benghazi, the deliberate misstatements, the deliberate attempts to deceive the American people with what happened in Benghazi, with all of that still percolating, so to speak, and yet to be released via some of these hearings that are being held by Trey Gowdy. I question Gary and Sam whether she will even ultimately be the nominee. I will say this. If the truth comes out just relative to Benghazi, her campaign is done. It's just absolutely over.
Well, she seems to like to put everything, or a lot of things anyway, under the carpet, and does not want to admit certain things. I mean, that, you know, when you look at the Clinton family and the Clinton name, Brother Sam, you can go back to even 1991, 92 when Bill started to run for the presidency. There have always been scandals or scandalous related situations that they've had to deal with. How has it been that they've been able to rise above that?
I don't know, Gary. That's one of those amazing things that there's no good answer to. There's some folks that you've said have Teflon upon them. These folks have had media. They've had others in positions of power and authority that have been able to shield them, protect them, refuse to go after them like they would any normal person. I mean, I put the president in that category. I put Hillary Clinton in that category. They're this type of thing that those who are really in position of exposing the media and others have just chosen to look askance and to not do that. That doesn't happen to a conservative candidate or a person. That doesn't happen to a Christian. That doesn't happen to a constitutionalist. They're going to go and dig under every rock. But for these, they don't. And I think that just points forward to the fact that we are in a day where truth is something that is hidden, that's manipulated. Deception is the rule in this country. And those who want the truth are going to have to look very, very hard for it. And they cannot take what they hear at first blush from the media and take it as a truth. They're going to have to do digging on their own and listening to programs like this who are going to do digging because of that very nature.
Dave Kistler, you mentioned that you're not even sure that she will be the candidate for the Democratic ticket, and I would agree with you. However, you know, in what she brought out yesterday, it seems as though she wants to be saying to her constituency that this campaign about voters and not about her. Actually, she said that Americans have fought their way back from tough economic times, but the deck stacked in favor of those at the top. She went on to say, "I'm hitting the road to earn your vote because it's your time, and I hope you'll join me on this journey." your comments, you know, this isn't her time, it's our time, according to Hillary Clinton.
Gary, when you listen to that and you know anything about the Clintons, it's always her time. I mean, the focus has never really been on the American people per se. It's never certainly been on the middle class or those that are in economic dire straits. It's always been about the Clintons. It's always been about her. This most recent scandal with her emails and what she did with her server. I mean, Gary, that is the consummate example of it being all about her. So for her to say the things that she said when she announced her candidacy and her run yesterday, Gary, are a joke. They're just an absolute joke. And again, I think if there is any revelation whatsoever remotely close to the truth of what happened with her email situation and that scandal with what happened in Benghazi, which to me is the big one that literally ought to disqualify her from ever being president of the United States or ever being a candidate for any office, to be quite honest. That really comes out and the American people understand what she has done.
You know, I thought it was interesting in that particular couple on there. She had a Spanish-speaking brothers on there. She had a mother seeking to return to the workforce. She had an Asian-American college student, and, of course, even an expected African-American set of parents. But it's interesting that even with all of those folks, Sam, there was one person who wasn't there yesterday on her video, and that's Mr. Bill Clinton. What's up with that?
I think that'll be one of the logical questions for the campaign as they go down the road. I think she doesn't want Bill too close. She's used him, but now she's going to be on her own.
Well, she sure will be. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with some information that you may not have heard anywhere else in just a few minutes. I'm Gary Dull. This is Stand in the Gap Today. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Indeed, it's a delight to have you there with us. I am Gary Dull, and along with me is Sam Rohr, the president of the American Pastors Network, as well as David Kistler, who is an evangelist out of North Carolina and is also the president of the North Carolina Pastors Network. I happen to serve on the board of the American Pastors Network, along with Brother Dave, along with Brother Sam, And I'm also the executive director of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. And as this program continues down through the days and the weeks and the months and the years as the Lord leads, you'll be learning a whole lot more about the American Pastors Network as we endeavor to do a couple of things, and that is to stand on the authority of God's Word, to be encouraging people to develop and live according to a biblical worldview, and then, of course, to make an impact for Christ in the community. And we're going to be consistently dealing with the issues that we face in the world around us and try to bring the Word of God and the United States Constitution to bear on these various issues. Well, in our last segment, we talked about the upcoming presidential campaign. And, of course, we do know that later on today, Marco Rubio is going to be announcing his candidacy for the United States presidency. And we'll be observing what he has to say about that. And the Lord willing, we'll talk to you about that somewhat more tomorrow. But there's something that I mentioned to you before we went into the break that you may not have heard too much about over the news media. It's something that really is concerning to us, or should be concerning to us, and that is the White House is planning to develop a country within a country with 15 million new Americans. Yes, you heard that right. The White House is planning to develop a country within a country of 15 million new Americans. And, of course, what that means is that the White House has plans to legalize 13 to 15 million illegal immigrants who will then establish a country within a country. And, of course, how this came to be is that Susan Payne, who is a contributor to WCBM Television in Baltimore, had the opportunity to be in on some sort of a secret phone conference that was established by the White House. And, of course, unbeknown to the Obama officials, Ms. Payne was invited to listen on these conference calls on immigration, on an immigration rally, as it were. And, of course, Cecilia Munoz, director of the White House Domestic Policy Council, and 16 members of the White House cabinet were also on that particular call. The White House officials were on all three calls, and what Ms. Payne learned needs to be immediately shared with the Congress and the public. And, of course, this may be the first time that folks like you have heard about it. And in reality, what it is that what they're calling the Task Force of New Americans and the receiving communities are part of a plan by the Obama administration to develop a country within a country, which will eventually form a new and instantly fundamentally transformed United States of America. And, of course, when these new Americans come out of the shadows, the communities in which they've been placed will be designated as what they're calling receiving communities. And one of the things that we have found out about this is not only a number, 13 to 15 million illegal immigrants involved, but we've also learned, now listen to this, that 50,000 Muslims from Syria and Africa have been authorized by President Obama to come to Memphis to be a part of one of these secret communities and populate the new huge mosques that are being built down in the Memphis area. Now, I don't know about you, Sam Rohr, but I think this is something that, number one, we should be very, very concerned about. And, you know, particularly from this administration that has said that it is, you know, so open, you know, telling us everything that they're doing, transparent. I'm glad that they are so transparent that we've just found out about this. How about it?
Well, Gary, transparent is hardly the way to describe it. Transformational is what the president said. That is what we're talking about.
That's
change,
right.
Hope and change. Again, we've talked about a lot on this program. We have to understand and define terms very, very carefully. I mean, when this president ran, understand, people were hoping, that was the word he used, for good change. But that has turned out to be anything but a good hope by a normal, patriotic, loving, freedom-loving American, or change for the better. It's anything other than that, because the terminology was different. And that's one thing we've talked about here. So I encourage people who are listening, understand the terms. When you hear people say anything, when you hear somebody running for office stand up and promise something, and they say words that sound good, you'd better define what they mean by those words. Because what's happening here is, in fact, a further continuation to transform America as we know it. And it's not one that takes us more towards higher law, the rule of law, the law and order, constitutional rule of law, the fear of God, anything other than that. It's the exact opposite from that. And, of course, all of this, embracing of Islam and turning our friends upside down in the Middle East and walking away from Israel, all of these things fit part and hand in fist here with these kinds of things that come to light that begin to describe, Gary, why this president and so many others in Congress are wanting the borders to be opened and just letting anybody come through, and nobody there's no check being put on any of those things. Here you're finding out that, in fact, there is a strategy. This is not a silly, dumb policy. This is strategic policy, and this kind of thing where you're actually bringing in those who are really not ever going to assimilate with America. And they have said that. They're going to navigate through America. They're not going to assimilate. And the goal is to change America. This is something that rises to the highest level of scrutiny, or should, and every person in Congress who's taken an oath to support the oath of the Constitution of the United States should be, in fact, standing up and screaming from the top of their lungs, of which there are only a few who do. So I'm sorry for ranting a little bit with you, Gary, on this, but this is a big issue, and this is the kind of thing, and I know that we don't have all of the information available right here at this point to go into all of the fullest detail, but it is something that's happening. It is something that's been out there. It is something that's been reported. And I know Brother Dave down in North Carolina has some comments. He's been doing some Googling himself. Anybody can go online and Google and find out some things that are happening with the establishment of mosques. I mean, there's a lot of things happening here.
Well, there are a lot of things happening here, and of course, Dave, you know, if we turn the clock back 6 or 7 years, we find that Barack Obama, when he was running for the presidency, basically said that he wanted to fundamentally transform the United States of America. Here we find one politician that really is keeping his promise, Dave.
Well, Gary, he is. And those that thought the president was just using language and he didn't really mean what he was saying, boy, this has been a rude awakening for them. This man means exactly what he's saying when he talks about the fundamental transformation of this nation. And by the way, gentlemen, I think it bears noting that last summer, if you will both remember, and if our listening audience will remember, there was this enormous influx of what the media called children across our southern border. Of course, the reporting ultimately proved that those that were coming across our southern border were not just children at all. There were teenagers, there were those in their 20s, there were those that were much older, and there was this massive influx of people coming across our southern border. They were then being bused to locations around the United States. Some of those locations were mentioned, some were not. But Gary, Sam, how long has it been since we've heard any discussion of that? These people have been purposefully transported to positions, cities around the United States, now called receiving cities or receiving communities, where they will form, as Gary, you said so clearly, a country within a country. And one of those cities is Memphis, Tennessee, and the surrounding area. By the way, I have dear friends in the Shelbyville, Tennessee area, and Shelbyville is one of those areas where there is a large mosque, and there is a mega mosque in the Memphis area. And evidently the president's plan includes these 50,000 Muslims being transported, many of them, if not all of them, into the Memphis area, flood that area with an influx of Muslims, and they will then attend that mega mosque and reshape the community of Memphis, Tennessee. This, Gary, this is unbelievable that it's happening within the United States of America. It will not only change the voting demographic for the foreseeable future, it will change fundamentally the United States of America. And my personal opinion is this: this is all deliberate to give favored status to Muslims, to make America a far more Muslim-friendly country. And long-term, gentlemen, that could never be good.
Sam Rohr, you know, it's interesting that Obama's plan is to treat these new Americans as refugees as soon as amnesty is pushed through. And, of course, the thing about that is that refugees are given an allowance, housing, food, medical care, education and an immediate pathway to citizenship. So in reality, what that is saying is that you and I, as the American taxpayer is concerned, we are going to be paying for these new Americans coming into this nation to form another country within the country. Is this in any way, shape, or form even legal?
Now, Gary, it's not legal, nor is it lawful. I'm going to put it this way. It's certainly not lawful, and I don't even think it's legal. Now, some folks may see the distinction between what I'm saying there, but it's not in a matter of law that this can be done. I mean, the mere fact that you are, as a president, okay, as an individual, approving and bringing in, somehow, some way, bringing in tens of thousands of people from other seas, bringing them through the immigration process, which has been just about totally dismantled from the standpoint of anybody wanting to come into this country as a Christian or as a refugee from a Christian refugee from Syria or others. Those individuals are not being brought in. And anybody who's wanting to come in via a lawful mean finds that they run into headaches right after one, right after the other. But seemingly all of these other tens of thousands can come across the border, can come in in this fashion by design, by writing on the back of a postcard almost out of the president's office. There's no way that is legal. And again, I come back to the question of Congress, who sits there in direct oversight. What are they doing? Gary, they're not doing enough on this, and now it's going to come up to the people to do something.
Well, of course, that's what this program is all about, and we hope that we can be able to help the people to make decisions that are constitutional, lawful, and legal. And, you know, the thing about this whole thing is, guys, is that this isn't just a matter with those who are illegals now, but Obama's talking about bringing people in from the Middle East, Africa, and Haiti as well to be a part of these new countries within the country. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with more from Stand in the Gap today in just a moment.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Join us for the 2015 Pennsylvania Leadership Conference, the premier gathering of conservatives each year here in Penn's Woods. This year's conference, April 17th and 18th, at the Radisson Penn Harris Convention Center in Camp Hill. This year's featured dinner speaker, former CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson, luncheon speaker James O'Keefe, the investigative journalist who brought down Acorn. Other speakers include Pat Toomey, Rick Santorum, Brent Bozell, Mike Terzai, Philip McAleer, Grover Norquist, Congressman Lou Barletta, and John Gizzi. In addition to speakers, the Pennsylvania Leadership Conference will include workshops, panel presentations, and exhibits by over 40 conservative organizations. Complete information and details about how to register for the Pennsylvania Leadership Conference are available at paleadershipconference.org. Register today at paleadershipconference.org.
If you're looking for a healthy treat today, why not head down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt? It's located in the King of Prussia Mall, the Plaza section opposite L.L. Bean. They have shakes and smoothies and hot fudge sundaes and, yes, even mint chocolate chunk frozen yogurt. And if you tell them you're a listener of WFYL, receive a 10% discount. So today, why not? Head on down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt located in the King of Prussia Mall.
Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson, 1800.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am Gary Dahl, and along with me is Sam Rohr, the president of the American Pastors Network, and Dave Kistler, who's the president of the North Carolina Pastors Network. And we want to thank you for being there in our audience. Of course, this is a brand new program that you're listening to on these radio stations, and the Lord willing, we will be here for a long time talking about the issues that we face in the nation today, as well as the entire world, and bringing the Word of God as well as the United States Constitution to bear on those particular issues. And I just want to mention something here, Sam Rohr, as I go to you. I indicated earlier in the program that Marco Rubio is going to be announcing this afternoon that he is going to run for the presidency. Of course, Ted Cruz has already announced that. Both of these men are senators. And, of course, I read an article earlier today that really among these men, including Rand Paul, it appears as though Marco Rubio is the most established man of the three men as it relates to his grounding down there in Washington, D.C. Number one, do you agree with that? And number two, do you think if that is the case, that is a pro or a con for Marco Rubio as he announces later on this afternoon?
Well, Gary, I know we're going to have more discussion on this tomorrow, but I think that's an astute point there. I don't know personally that he is the most established in Washington. I don't know for sure what that means, and I'm not sure that is exactly meant. But if it means that he is established, as in connected to establishment, that's bad for Marco Rubio. If it simply means that he's on committees that have had some higher priority involvement, which he has been, then that's a different matter. So I think we have to wait and see what that means a little bit. But if I were personally to look at these three individuals, these three senators, Cruz and Rubio and Paul, and say, which of these three have the greatest standing in Washington, I would even back up from there and said, I'm not even sure which one, if that's really the question, I'd say which one of them best and most directly connects to the American people and can articulate the issue, the problems of the day, with issues and solutions that are believable and that kind of thing. And that's where I would go. And I think that's where ultimately it's going to be. We're going to need to make sure that we do in this program, where we look to the perspective of the people and what's needed rather than through the eyes or the ears or of someone who's sitting within Washington. And I know that's what we're going to do, but I'm not quite sure how to answer that with Marco. If he's establishment connected, and some would say that he is, that's not a good thing, but he'll have time to be able to explain himself. And I think when you hear his announcement later on, we'll have some things to talk about tomorrow.
Well, I don't think that they're basically saying that he's a part of the establishment more so than Cruz and Paul, but where they're going with that is that Cruz and Paul spent their time in Congress tending to their grassroots basis, even staging dramatic filibusters and descending from the leadership and so forth and so on when it proved to be personally expedient, whereas Rubio himself has really worked on this whole concept of immigration reform. Dave, do you think that's a good thing for him in comparison to Cruz and Paul?
Well, Gary, I've actually met Marco Rubio. He's a super nice guy. A friend of ours worked in his Washington, D.C. office. This friend was from Miami, knew him down in Miami, and then was brought to D.C. whenever he won his Senate seat. And I will say this, I personally presented a Bible to him, and phenomenal meeting, an incredibly sharp, highly intelligent young man, incredibly articulate. And I agree with you, Gary. I don't think what they're saying is he's connected to the establishment in Washington, D.C. I just think what people are saying or what that comment means about his connectivity is that he has worked hard on some issues that has really positioned him well for a run for the presidency. However, I will say this. I think some of his stance on immigration actually could hurt him unless he's able to clarify some things that he said early on in 2014, mid part of 2014. He said some things that really, I think, hurt him with a certain part of the base of the Republican Party. If he can clear that up, I think he's going to be a very formidable candidate. He's obviously a highly intelligent young man. His story of his parents coming here from Castro's Cuba is beyond compelling. And so I think he's going to be a formidable candidate to have to be dealt with.
Sam, you know, we are very concerned about the United States of America here at the American Pastors Network. And we often talk about the fact that there needs to be true fundamental change, not changing the fundamentals of this nation, but getting back to the fundamentals of this nation. What do we need to do as pastors, as citizens throughout this nation to see that in this next upcoming presidential election, we get on a trend that will lead this nation back to the principles of our founding fathers?
Gary, we've got to do a couple of things. Number one, we must begin to look through the eyes and the filter of the Constitution, and prior to that, through God's eyes. Now, we got to understand, we're preachers that are talking about here. We're talking about biblical principles and applying them to the issues of the day. And I'd say where we must start first, and where we're encouraging pastors across the country begin to speak and from the pulpits, is begin to think and speak in terms of biblical qualifications, meaning does the Bible speak to who is qualified or the duties or the responsibilities or the expectations from God's perspective that are going to be and are laid upon the back of anyone who's in a position of civil government? The answer is absolutely yes. There are things such as not given to bribery, such as having a fear of God, such as having a servant's heart, not thinking you're a master of the people, but you're servant to the people. These are basic things. There's a whole list of them. We need to begin articulating and measuring the candidates in light of these things, not in terms of what the Republican Party or the Democratic Party says are measures of qualification. It's not as important how much money as they have as the measure of their heart and their integrity. It's not as much as how tall they are. It's how tall they stand on matters of truth. These are the things that make a difference, and these are the things we're telling pastors across the country. Stand up, beginning talking like God would speak, like a founding father would speak in the evaluation of someone in office, not as what the media speaks, or certainly some party would tell you as meets qualification. I think that's a good place to start, and we can spend a lot more time talking in this program about these kinds of things as we go forward, Gary.
You know, this current Obama administration has really changed America fundamentally. We've talked about that, and of course, we think that it needs to get back to the fundamentals of our nation. Of course, that's two separate concepts. But in these next, 18, 19, 20 months that we have until the new president takes his seat in the White House, in the Oval Office. The Obama administration could continue to do things to change this nation in a scary way, just like we were talking about the fact that he wants to build a country within a country. Dave, my question to you is this, and we just have a short period of time for you to answer it. But the question is this: can one president, if we get a good fella or a good lady elected, can one president really do a lot in bringing this nation back to the principles upon which it was established?
Gary, if we look at the Old Testament scriptures, the Lord did some amazing things with the people of Israel through leaders who were committed to the God of heaven and yielded completely to him. Some of the situations that Israel got themselves into were absolutely disastrous. And America has certainly gotten itself into a situation with our current administration that is disastrous as well. So the answer to your question is yes. And if I could use this example, back in 1980, America's military might had been depleted. America had been depleted on a number of levels. And I believe personally that God brought onto the national stage and onto the global stage a man by the name of Ronald Reagan, who ended up proving to be a phenomenal leader to bring America back to a position of not only righteousness, but a position of strength in the world. So the answer to your question is a resounding yes. If we get the right kind of man, we can have that kind of turnaround in our country.
Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. Until tomorrow, I'm Gary Dahl saying stand up for faith and freedom, keep looking up, watch God work, and remember, the very best is yet to come.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180wfyl.com.